Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike, Pete, thank you across the way, Bogus, your updates. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call, and it's brought to you by your good friends over at GEICO. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We kick off this third and final hour. Let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Steve Kerr voices his opinion on the Anthony Davis trade.
Yeah, here it is. Steve Kerr yesterday, a podcast. What was it, Warriors Podcast? Is that what the name of
it
was?
Yeah, I think it was Warriors Insider.
Warriors Insider Podcast. Here is Steve Kerr. Playing back-to-back, Pete, the two cuts yesterday here, talking about the NBA offseason and players forcing their way out of teams.
As a former player, I always sort of lean towards player empowerment. You know, guys you know, who have earned their right to free agency, if they want to make a move and you know, make a move for their own careers, I'm all for it. They've earned that right. My only issue is when a player who's under contract decides not to honor the contract. I think that's a problem, and that's something that could really affect the league. I think you know, I think there's a way to move and there's a way to not move. I'm not even talking about in the off season. If a team like Oklahoma City decides to go a new direction and they sort of mutually decide to part ways with Russell, and Russell wants to move on. You know, to me, that's a different deal. I'm talking more about the Anthony Davis situation, you know, where a guy's perfectly healthy and got a couple years left on his deal, and says, "I want to leave."
Yeah,
I think that's a real problem that the league has to address, that the players have to be careful with. To me, when you sign on that dotted line, you owe your effort and your play to that team, to that city, to the fans. And then it's completely your right to leave as a free agent. But if you sign the contract, then you should be bound to that contract.
Yeah, you know, but first off, not every situation is the same. I think what bothers people about the Davis scenario is the fact that Davis and LeBron James have the same agent in Rich Paul. And the inner workings there, and LeBron being so vocal about wanting to play with Anthony Davis to the point where he got reprimanded by the National Basketball Association, Adam Silver, last year during the course of the regular season. And there's another way to look at it. As Steve Kerr told you, well, if you sign your contract, you should honor your contract. And there are players that sign their deal to play in a particular city for 3 or 4 years, whatever, 5 years, whatever the length might be, Taz.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a no-trade clause, you could get traded, could you not? I mean, so, I mean, a team doesn't necessarily have to honor the contract either. They could trade you. That's a possibility. And that is you know, every right of the team for an organization. So it's not necessarily, even if you, you know, love living there, your family loves living there, you don't want to go play anywhere else, you're happy with it. And then you could also factor in that the trust level. If you are a player, and you're a player of the skill and ability of Anthony Davis, and you don't feel like the organization is doing everything it can to build the team and the organization the right way around you, then you have every right. And then you have every right to be despondent or angry or distrustful of that franchise too.
Yeah, listen, we talked a lot about this earlier, right? So people could download the podcast if you want to hear the whole conversation, but. Like, I was just a little surprised. I mean, I get what Kerr's saying, and I agree with a lot of it, and I do. But as a former athlete, I can tell you, if someone wants out of a deal, it's tough to just... This is not a perfect world we live in. These are people. People make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And you sign a deal, in a perfect world, you stick to the deal. But sometimes it gets to a point where you just don't want to be there no more for like you said earlier, for a plethora of different reasons. So it might not be something that has anything to do with the sport, with basketball. If someone wants to leave, you don't want someone staying on your team or in your company or being in a relationship with that person doesn't want to be with you or with your team or organization. You don't want someone who's disgruntled. You don't want someone that could be that could bleed into, we didn't mention this earlier, but I didn't mention it earlier, this could bleed into the locker room too. So if you have someone who's not happy there and disgruntled there, but you're going to hold them to the fire because we need him to win, and you're going to play because you signed on the dotted line, like to use Kerr's line, you know, now you run the risk of having a guy or girl who's in a locker room that doesn't want to be there, and that could drip. That negativity and that, you know, that whole disgruntledness can drip onto younger players or even older players, and it could spread. So you got to be careful of that. You know, I've gotten out of a contract that I didn't want to be in a company no more, and I had some time left, and I wanted out. I wasn't happy. They wanted me to stay. I wanted out. And we came to terms, because who wants someone to stay with you when they don't want to be with you? And I also don't think, Moose, and we talked about this earlier, I don't think that he, Kerr, should have mentioned Davis by name. This Davis, if I'm Davis, if I'm AD, I'm like, oh, hell with him. Who's Steve Kerr? He coaches for a different team. I don't play for his organization. I don't play under him. I'm not one of his guys. Why is he spitting my name out of his mouth? That's how I'd be. And I'm sure Davis is pissed. He won't say it, but I'm sure he is. He shouldn't have said his name.
And what about if Anthony Davis said, I want to play in Golden State?
That's a good point. So you say, what if he wanted to leave?
What about if he said, if he wanted to leave New Orleans and say, trade me the only
place. Or he meant leave the Lakers and go.
But I mean, the point being is that if he forced his way out of New Orleans and said, the only place I want to go to is Golden State, would Steve Kerr have an issue with it? Would it be critical? Would he be hopping on the Warriors podcast, Insider podcast?
The answer is probably
nope. He'd be happy.
Yeah, he would be very happy. That's a great point.
So, you got to be careful here. Players are going to use the leverage that they can use when they can use it. And Davis was upfront and honest with the New Orleans Pelicans to where their new general manager, David Griffin, could get everything he possibly could. And people believe he got a lot from the Los Angeles Lakers. So it's not the best thing in the world. You don't want it to have happened. You don't want every player forcing their way out after signing deals. But not every situation is the same as Anthony Davis. I mean, you're talking about one of the top six players in the world, too.
Right. Yeah, no, and yeah. And it is. It's always a different situation, for sure. But, you know, I don't think this... And I don't think this is ever gonna change. As far as players wanting to leave teams and stuff, that's gonna happen. People get unhappy. People leave jobs, they get unhappy. I mean, you didn't sign a contract. Well, okay, I understand that. But like you said too, sometimes teams can trade you. There's outs a lot of times in contracts for guys, and guys are like, well, look, you have an out to get rid of me. I want an out that I could leave.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I know.
We know the deal on that.
No, we do. You're right about that.
Anybody who works under a contract understands what I'm saying. You're saying with that. There are a lot of folks right now listening to us that don't work under a contract. Most people don't. They have a job and they work for a company, or they're a business owner or what have you. But they understand the concept of a contract. But it's still a job. Even though you have a contract, if you're not happy and you want to leave, you know, it's tough to hold someone to the fire. It's tough to make them stay. Didn't Kerr say something like this was, I'm trying to remember because I read through the article a couple times quick, but didn't he say something, this was groundbreaking, like what happened with AD?
I missed that comment.
I could have sworn that I saw that. Because it's not groundbreaking, right? We've seen this before with guys.
You've seen it.
With Carmelo, right?
Seen it. Right, you've seen it before. So that's not... And, you know, Melo wanted the long-term deal under the old CBA and still get traded by Denver to the Knicks. So he could have left via free agency. So, yeah. No, and you're not going to see it. The Anthony Davis example is not going to be the last example either in our lifetime. All right, next.
Number two.
Clippers owner Steve Ballmer is fired up.
Yeah, he certainly is. Let's play a little snippet yesterday as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George got introduced as Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah! Most of all, I'm pumped. Say hello, it's Clippers, to Paul and Kawhi. Come on! Come on! Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! And you are as psyched as I am!
How about that talk?
Get up!
How about that talk?
Get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Oh, my God. No, man, he was like...
Yeah!
He, like, back up, like, whatever, like, 10 seconds where he goes, come on, if you're as excited... like, he couldn't... His brain couldn't think enough for his energy and passion.
Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am! Get up!
I love it. That's great. Good for Bomber and the Clipper fan as they celebrate, and rightfully so.
It's like a pep rally.
And it's great. It's going to be fun out in Los Angeles watching this Clippers team play. And what they're able to do, they got two great players, two great defenders, two great all-around talents. As long as George, coming off the two shoulder surgeries, is ready to go at some point during the regular season, he might not be there at the start. But Bomber yesterday, an owner to be excited to play for, and he was certainly excited yesterday.
Oh, yeah, the passion. I was saying, just imagine how funny it would be just watching a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's the complete opposite of Bomber, sitting there with Bomber. Bomber's like, you fired up? Kawhi, you ready to go? You fired up to play for us? And Kawhi's like, yeah, man, I'm cool.
Yeah!
By the way, circle back. If we could just back up to the Kerr thing, I want to just mention that groundbreaking thing. He did say, this is from Kerr, a quote, but the Davis stuff was really kind of groundbreaking and hopefully not a trend because it's bad for the league. So that's from Steve Kerr.
There you go.
It's not groundbreaking, though, right? We just went over this, right?
I think it's more about the agents working.
Right, right.
I would say that. In the example of a player trying to force his way out of a situation, that's not groundbreaking. I think it's kind of the way it all went down.
I see what you're saying.
A
Maybe
bit
I misread
different.
It the way he said
it. No. That would be the only reason, because you can't tell me that a guy forcing his way out of a situation is groundbreaking.
Right.
That's not.
No. That's the thing.
No, not at all. All right, next.
Number three.
Red Sox protest lost to Rays due to lineup card questions.
Yeah, so here is the Red Sox manager, Alex Cora, after yesterday's game. Yeah, we do have it, right? Number seven on the list. You got it, Pete?
Seven or seven and a half.
All right, we got it. Here
we go. Got it. Seven and
Here's
a half.
Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager, after the confusion
and
last
begin.
Night.
They did the pitcher move into a position, and we felt that they made some illegal substitutions. It was a mess at one point. You know, like I wasn't even able to like keep up with Angel. So we protested the game. Let's see where it goes.
Well, that's it. Led to a 20-minute delay. Red Sox have protested Wednesday's game and played the game under protest. And the issue surrounded Rays substitutions, right? Seventh inning, Choi pinch hits for their catcher, Mike Zunino. And that was fine. Choi remained in the game to play first base. Travis d'Arnaud moved to first from first to catcher. But when Rays manager Kevin Cash shifted pitcher Adam Kaloric to first base after he retired the first batter in the top of the eighth and brought in reliever Chase Rowe, he didn't specify which pitcher would replace designated hitter Austin Meadows.
Oh,
in the batting order, that brought bewildered Red Sox manager Alex Cora out of the dugout to argue with home plate umpire Angel Hernandez, with two separate discussions delaying the game for about 20 minutes. So,
oh my God.
It's getting into the weeds in terms of Major League Baseball, but not exactly the moment you want to see. And Angel Hernandez, not exactly the umpire you want to see handling this situation.
He has got some rep, this guy, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, it's unbelievable. He really is.
He really is.
You know what? Here's the deal, folks. When you as a fan, or I don't care if you're a sports radio host, a sports TV host, when you know certain referee or umpire by name, that means he's just probably not really good at what he does, because we shouldn't know these guys' names. You know what I mean? We know people's names like this that are in official positions or referee positions because they screw it up too much, or they're sketchy. And this guy, Angel Hernandez, it's always a problem.
No, not always. A good scenario. Rays went on to win the game last night 3-2. We'll see exactly, as Cora mentioned, where this protest goes. So, Bomber fired up out in Los Angeles to introduce both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Steve Kerr bothered by the fact that Anthony Davis forced his way out of New Orleans, saying not a good trend for the league. And the Red Sox, in a loss to Tampa Bay, play that game under protest based on what they believe were some illegal substitutions or a shift in the lineup cards.
And so, we got Dustin Fox next.
Correct. Right, coming up on the fan in Cleveland. Break. We're going to talk to Lil Brown's football. Talk a little bit about Odell Beckham Jr., Baker Mayfield, everything and the like. That comes your way next. Taz and Moose on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On this Thursday morning, I was just thinking about we're getting to Dustin Fox is going to join us here momentarily, right?
Yes.
I was thinking about coming off the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George presser yesterday out in Los Angeles with the Clippers, and George references, we played some audio earlier on the program. About that they could have or easily could have been teammates in Indiana, right? The Pacers drafted Kawhi Leonard. It was the George Hill trade. The Spurs traded George Hill to Indiana. And then the Pacers traded Kawhi Leonard to the San Antonio Spurs. Right? I mean, those were the two key contributing. Those were the two key components to that deal. Here's my, you know, do you think Kawhi Leonard, if that trade doesn't happen and he remains in Indiana, do you think Leonard is the player he is today and the same player he is today if he's just a Pacer with Paul George? Or do you think he was helped out by the fact he started his career in San Antonio?
I feel like he was. It was the Pacers. It was like, it feels like eons ago, right or wrong, doesn't it?
No,
the
Pacers. Right, you know what I mean? right, a while back. But my point being, right, he never suited up for Indiana.
Right.
So he was drafted by Indiana. Then they traded his draft rights and the
well, I mean, like his name, like associated with it. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, no,
like,
yeah, right. My point being is that do you think Kawhi Leonard is a top five player in the world if he never puts on a San Antonio Spur uniform?
No, I don't. Because I do think everything that happened with him in San Antonio, especially how it ended, built a quiet, gigantic chip on his shoulder. And I think that's why he went to the Raptors and did what he did.
Right, or I was more thinking about the development of Kawhi Leonard. Like coming out of San Diego State. Like, do you think he was just destined to be great? Or do you think, like, and he was an, you know, he's a great basketball player. He was a great college basketball player. I'm not denying that. But do you think he was helped out, his development as an NBA player was helped out by being part of that program in San Antonio with Popovich, Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker? Do you think that helped Kawhi Leonard reach the level he's at?
I
or do you think Kawhi Leonard is such a good basketball player, Taz, that regardless of situation, he would have become this player?
Well, I do think that that second part's tough to handle. The first part, I do agree. I do think that him being part of what he did with the Spurs and then how it ended and all that jazz made him who he is today as a player. That happens with all athletes. It's the things, it's the experiences, no matter negative or positive, the teams you go to or players you're around or coaches you play under, whatever. It's the same in wrestling. You know, people you work for, what promoters, what guys you're wrestling, what towns you're working in. It those all are just like little drops of what build who you become. And I do think that San Antonio Spurs is part of his history for a reason.
No doubt.
And I do think that that helped him become the great player he is. No matter if people, you know, like what he did at San Antonio or not.
No, and the way it ended, it didn't end all that well. So you don't think, so because there's some that believe if you're going to be great, you're going to be great.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much I believe that. I believe that in destiny to a degree. I don't know, like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I believe in you, it's meant to be that you make it be. That's how I believe. So I don't know about that whole thing that if, It was just meant to be that Kawhi Leonard's a great basketball player. I don't know about that. I think there are a lot of athletes who should come out of high school or college that should be great. They have the body of work. They have the experience, the skill set. They get put in the wrong situation, no matter if it's a college athlete
and then they
or
don't
pro.
Develop.
Correct.
Yeah, no.
Happens all the time.
It does. I mean, you know, and I think probably there are examples of, I mean, LeBron James could have been playing basketball on the moon. It didn't matter.
He
was going to be a great, yeah. He was going, you know, you look Michael at Michael Jordan, Jordan right, driven, yeah, yeah. Or look at Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, you look at those caliber of players. And Kawhi Leonard right now, with the resume he's putting together, Taz, is right there. So I do think that him landing in San Antonio helped his development because I think playing with veterans of that caliber – learning what it is to be a pro.
Right.
Learning what kind of work ethic you need. I think that's kind of experience is invaluable for a young player.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
We're going to talk to Dustin Fox, talk a little Browns football. The Fan in Cleveland's going to join us here momentarily. Look who it is. What's going on, man?
Here's your report. It's sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Let's go right back to those Clippers in the middle of the Steve Ballmer show yesterday. Paul George said this.
I grew up a Clippers fan. I loved the Clippers as a kid.
And in a strange twist, people got way carried away by that, challenging George's childhood memories since we thought for so long he wanted to be a Laker. Then we had reporters who covered George back in Indy coming to his defense with old quotes about loving those Clippers. The Patriots placed wideout Julian Edelman on the non-football injury list yesterday. His left thumb injury is reportedly a break. It happened 3 weeks ago. Edelman expected to miss a few more weeks. And Titans safety Keith Byard signing a 5-year extension last night. It reportedly includes $31 million in guarantees. The Angels, a 3-2 winner at Dodger Stadium last night. They sweep this season's four-game freeway series. The Royals are hot for now, winners of 9-12, a 2-0 final in Atlanta. The Nationals took two from the Rockies, 3-2 in the afternoon, then 2-0 at night. And the Cardinals dumped the Pirates 14-8, three homers for shortstop Paul DeJong. All-Star Game MVP Shane Bieber, a 10K one-hitter in Toronto. Cleveland won 4-0. They're now two games behind the Twins in the Central. Minnesota, a 10-7 home loss to the Yankees. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Let's talk a little Browns football. Let's welcome aboard Dustin Fox. The Fan in Cleveland joins us now, co-host of Bull and the Fox on 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. Hey, Dustin, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We appreciate it.
Dustin, what's up, man?
Taz, Moose, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good, yeah, man.
You know, and Dustin, this Browns team certainly has got a lot of personalities here. I do like the fact of, you know, even though that interview was 2 months ago and grabbed a lot of headlines on a number of different levels, I do like the fact of what Odell Beckham Jr. had to say yesterday at his football camp in terms of, you know, trying to put the Giants in the rearview mirror and saying focusing in here on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I think he needs to at this point. I mean, my goodness, it's been long enough where, you know, he can let things go. And I know that interview was a while back, but he needs to just kind of put that in the rearview mirror. And he did an interview with my partner, one-on-one with the Bull at his camp, and it was good to hear some of the things he had to say. Number one, he's looking for a fresh start. He's looking to, you know, kind of take a little ownership of what happened in the past and move forward. It hasn't been perfect for him. Obviously, he hasn't done everything right. He admits that. And I think he's looking for this fresh opportunity here in Cleveland.
Dustin, what about, give us a feel for, like, in the great city of Cleveland and that whole area, like, what's the feel, man, of the fan base, would you say? When you guys do your show and people call, whatever, or people on social media, you know, going with you guys, talking about the Browns and talking about Beckham. Like, what's the feel, like, in town, for most part, from Brown fans about Beckham being part of this thing?
The energy is just insane. Mm. I mean, it's really, really insane. I don't think we've seen anything like this in quite some time with any team. I mean, maybe the Cavaliers come close when LeBron came back, just kind of the excitement in the city. But it's the energy level on social media with our callers for the Browns. It's like they can't wait for today's training camp. Training camp opens up here. Right. That they're on the field in about an hour and a half, and they'll be packed out there in Berea, and every practice is going to be packed. Every preseason game is going to be packed, and obviously the expectations are probably a little bit too high for the team in terms of what they're going to do, because they still haven't proven anything. But you know, fans are expecting playoffs, and you know, I don't know. I hate to use the Super Bowl.
Your head coach did.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but that's sort of the expectation already.
Yeah.
Playing off that, Dustin, does the excitement around the Browns match the excitement around the Cavs when Bron was there?
I think it's more. It's a Browns town. Even though LeBron was so great and the Cavs were an awesome team, nothing tops the Browns. When the Browns win, I don't care if it was, you know, like back in 2014, the Browns had Brian Hoyer as their quarterback. They just drafted Johnny Manziel, and they were 7-4, right, going into the final, you know, five games of the season, and things fell apart. But, I mean, there was a point in time when, I mean, the city was like electric. I mean, that's the closest I can remember to this feeling is with the Browns. It's just, it's cool how much this town rallies around this football team.
It's awesome. Listen, you're listening to Taz and Moose right now. Our special guest is Dustin Fox, co-host of Bull and Fox on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So, Dustin, with the it's kind of a unique situation for the Browns, I would think, because it's almost like you guys that we'd say in the wrestling business, you guys are the heels, you're the bad guy. You know, Kitchens, very outspoken, and he's a new head coach. And obviously Baker Mayfield's his second year as an NFL quarterback. And, you know, there's a lot of bravado coming out of both these guys, and it seems like there's a chip on the shoulder of the Cleveland Browns players and coaches as an overview. I mean, are the fans, you feel like the fans in Cleveland are enjoying this being the bad guy for a change?
I don't know if they feel like they're the bad guy yet. I think it's coming. You know, I think what happened last year was the start of the Browns becoming a team people really, really liked.
Right,
you know, the whole story behind people saw Hard Knocks, right? And they saw,
of course, yeah.
This young team. They saw Baker Mayfield. They saw the team that, you know, didn't win but one game in two seasons, and then all of a sudden this thing starts to turn last year. I think people are excited about the Browns. I think people will start to hate the Browns when they start winning. You know, like right now, I think they're still kind of a lovable. Oh, you know, let's see what happens. Baker and Odell and Jarvis is kind of cool. Let's see what's going to happen. But as soon as they start winning and the trash talk continues and Baker is himself, which is this cocky quarterback that just doesn't really give a rip about what anybody thinks or says, that's when things turn. And I don't know if fans are ready for that, because what happens is when you start to have success and people, you start to do the trash talking thing, and that's all fine and dandy when you're winning. But the second the Browns have any slip-up, man, everyone's going to jump on top of them. And yeah. I don't know if the fans are ready for that.
You know, Dustin, when we look at this Browns team on the whole, you're concerned. I mean, there's been, as you mentioned, a lot of talk, playoffs, Super Bowl. What's the concern that you have about the Browns this year?
Just everybody working. You know, there's a new head coach. There's tons of new egos and attitudes and personality, right? I mean, there's a lot of different personalities, and how does it all mesh? And does it work? You know, I mean, on paper, this team looks awesome. It looks like a fantasy football team, but, you know, we know how these things work. This isn't Madden. This isn't a video game. This is real. Like, you have to fight through adversity. You have to win games. You have to, you know, deal with players. You know, is everybody going to get their touches? Is there enough footballs to go around? I mean, there's a lot of talented players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that, you know, are going to want to get their carries and get their receptions. I don't know. I mean, that's the concern. I mean, if everyone plays selfless and cares about winning and makes that the priority, they'll be fine. But we don't know. We haven't seen that happen yet, so we don't know how that's going to play out.
What about, you know, Kitchens, who, you know, every team's trying to win. We know that. Some are in better position to win than anybody else, than other teams, and we all understand that as well. But what about Kitchens here now, you know, getting, not being the offensive coordinator, now this being his team as head coach going into his first year as HC here for the Browns?
I think there's a lot of pressure on Freddie because of how talented the team is. People are probably going to look at this and say, well, if they don't win X amount of games, if they don't go to the playoffs, then a lot is going to be on Freddie. And Freddie, you know, you've heard him talk. I mean, he's a different kind of head football coach. He doesn't talk like a normal coach does. I mean, he's a guy from the South who kind of has that accent, doesn't sound like everyone's coach. And I like that about him. I don't think he cares what people think or say, but there's no doubt that there's pressure on him. I mean, let's say the Browns have a season where they win 6 or 7 games, which could happen, right? I don't think it's going to happen, but it could. My God, the pressure on him for next season is going to be through the roof, because the expectations this year were, you know, 10, 11 games.
But also, Dustin, it's dependent on how you get to those 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I mean, it is too. I mean, if you win six or seven, if Mayfield goes out, blows out his knee week one,
yeah,
heaven forbid.
Yeah, it's a different story.
Right. No, so, yeah. I mean, now if you're looking at a scenario where everyone's healthy and they win six or seven games and there's infighting and Beckham's creating negative headlines, whatever it might be, or drama and stuff, then obviously, yeah, you're dead on correct. Then the pressure's going to be off the charts.
Yeah, if and remember, he's the play caller too.
Sure.
So every decision made is going to be questioned if it doesn't work, right? And he's going to have to answer questions about in-game decisions. Why'd you call that timeout? Why didn't you go for it? Why did you go for it? Why'd you kick a field goal? Like, those are the questions he's going to have to respond to, and he's going to have to, you know, hopefully make the right calls. And we haven't seen him do it. We saw him as a play caller last year, but we didn't see him as a head coach. I mean, there's a lot more.
Well, he talks like he's been doing it 20 years. He talks like he's Bill Belichick. I mean, the swagger, the confidence, you know what I mean?
He's great. I mean, it's incredible because this guy, had he not been given the opportunity last year to be the offensive coordinator and call plays, this guy would never be a head coach.
Dude, also, if Baker Mayfield didn't want to be the head coach, he wouldn't, because Baker, I think, was his biggest advocate.
Because they're buddies.
Right,
they're
exactly.
Like two peas in a pod, you know?
Yep.
When you look at Mayfield here, he's certainly outspoken. You mentioned it. He doesn't care what people think of him. You know, it works when you're successful. When you look at Mayfield, and he's got that big old chip on his shoulder as well, there's a lot to like about Baker in terms of the personality. Doesn't have your prototypical size here. But what about Mayfield now going into year two as the full-time starter?
And I love the kid. I told you guys, I think I was on with you guys before the draft.
Last
year. And I said how, you know, they need to draft Baker Mayfield. He's my number one quarterback and all this stuff. And all the reasons that I liked him then, I still like him now. I like him even more now because he's now proven it a little bit in the NFL. And he's proven he can play with the big boys. But I just think that this kid has grown this offseason. He the way he talks, he just continues to grow up. I know the headlines are you know, sexy and have sizzle, and people want to think this kid is, you know, he's calculated with what he says. He loves to be challenged by the media. He loves to be challenged as a competitor. And I think part of the reason that he goes at Colin Cowherd and some of these other people on social media and things like that is because he wants to find ways to continue to feel like he's the walk-on. He wants people to count him out. He needs that chip on his shoulder. Listen, he's not the underdog anymore, okay? He's the number one overall pick. He had the most touchdown passes as a rookie in the history of the game, okay? He's not the underdog anymore, but he still wants to feel like that, and so that's what he's trying to do, and that's why he tries to find these little things to motivate him.
Yeah, and you can understand that. Does the Landry-Beckham friendship help here? Because, the very fact of there's not enough footballs to go around. I mean, not everyone's going to have 1,800 yards receiving. Does that friendship help here, Kitchens and Mayfield, in terms of the distribution of the football, those wideouts?
I think Jarvis and Beckham's relationship is huge. If they were not best friends from childhood, I don't know that this could work. Because if you just took these two receivers, same attitudes, same skill sets, and just threw them on a team that if they didn't know each other, I think it'd be a disaster. But these guys are competitive. They, going back to their days at LSU, they wanted to one-up each other. We had Les Miles on my show, and he was telling us a story about how one day after practice, Jarvis Landry's in the indoor facility by himself practicing these one-handed catches off the jugs machine. Well, Odell hears about it. Next day, Odell's in there trying to do these catches. And that's where it starts. These guys want to compete against each other. They are selfless towards each other, too. They literally, like, they call each other brothers. I mean, they feel like they're family. So if you have a brother, and I do, I remember growing up, everything that my brother did, I wanted to do better. And I kind of feel like that's how they are. But also, you know, you also root for your brother, too. You're competing against him, but you also want him to have success, too. So I think that's kind of where they're at.
Final one for you, Dustin, is this. You mentioned it, you know, the high expectations. What are your, you know, obviously injuries can play a role, a number of things can play a role, but this team stays healthy. What do you think the Browns are here after 17 weeks, 16 games in the regular season?
Oh, I think they're a 9 or 10 win team, and I think they're right there for the division. I don't know if they'll be able to catch. I still think Pittsburgh wins the division. I do. I think the Browns could be a wild card team. and be right in the mix. I think the last couple of games are going to be crucial for the Browns. They play Baltimore in Week 16, and they play Cincinnati in Week 17, and they've got basically the entire division at the end of the year. So I think they're in the mix. I mean, I think I predicted on our show for them to win 10. I don't know that I feel great about 10. I think they'll win more than 8. I think let's say they'll win 9 games.
9 games. There you go. And you should have cracked this one to Les Miles when you had him on the show. The only thing that could stop Beckham and Landry was Les Miles.
Nice.
That's right.
Because you look at the talent they had, you said to yourself, how exactly did LSU not have a great offense?
They didn't throw those guys.
I know. It makes no sense.
I know.
Hey, Dustin, we appreciate the time this morning, right? And
all right, guys.
You got it.
See you, Dustin. Take care, man.
92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Check him out, Bull and Fox. They do a great job. And him and Adam are a good combination.
Yes.
And Dustin,
a good
player at Ohio State as well.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
close to that
no
Buckeye
doubt.
Program.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That is stunning when you look at Les Miles. I mean, the offensive talent that they have and have had him. And they couldn't find a quarterback. But think of, I mean, the Cleveland Browns have got two LSU wide receivers. Both were on the same team on college. Best friends.
Yep.
And you look at that offense. You would have think that offense would have been the best offense in college football, and it wasn't.
It was not. Who was the quarterback there? Was it, what's his name? The big dude who went to the Raiders?
No, yeah, Jamarcus Russell?
Not Russell.
No, he's younger,
right?
That was after.
After, man.
I'm trying to think. Who is the kid?
I don't know who the quarterback was. No big guy.
Who was the kid that played at Tennessee? He played for the Tennessee Titans. He was in the AAF.
Oh, really?
He was in the Alliance for American Football.
You got me.
He was with.
AAF.
It's going to hit me here for a second.
Well, when we're in the break, it's going to hit you.
Oh, it is. Bilotti knows who I'm talking about.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Hang on.
It's on the
855-212-4CBS. That's your number to call.
Gotcha.
Zach Mettenberg.
Wow.
Wow. There you go.
Look at that.
There you go.
Great way to go to break. You nailed it.
I believe that was the quarterback.
Sounds good to me.
I believe he was the quarterback. Am I correct?
It was,
yes,
it was.
There you go. Zach Mettenberg was the quarterback at LSU.
Moose, you win a teddy bear.
Thank you very much. It's Taz and the Moose. We got the undercard. Stories we missed from today's rundown coming your way next, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Make sure to check out the podcast downloaded each and every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, usually about 60, 90 minutes after our program goes off the air. It's available. And if you missed any part of the program, check it out there. We put all 3 hours out.
Speaking of podcasts, I'll be recording a new Taz show later today from one of my studios. So that'll drop later today if anybody wants any wrestling content.
There you go.
PodcastRadio.com. Speaking of podcasts, Mikey B, any update on basketball drives? Yesterday was the big debut. A lot of buzz.
Yeah, it was great. I appreciate all the support. Episode 4 comes out Tuesday.
Wow. Ooh. Yep.
Hard sell, Mike.
Yeah.
You got it.
I put out a nice tweet for him and promoted his stuff.
I didn't.
That's all right.
I have to. Now
you
got the time, pressure's
Moose.
On. I got to do it.
Now the pressure's on.
Now the pressure's
on. No, it's okay. No, it's all right.
There was a
he
point.
Doesn't expect you to.
Everything Taz says, there's a point.
What are you going
to do? I'm joking.
No, but you sound like you're worried.
I know. People get it. I'm joking around.
If they listen to the show, they do it. Imagine someone just joined in. Wow,
well,
this guy Taz is a real
God,
douche.
No. He's like, Mark, what an edge. Right. Can you be a bigger douche?
Dude, really, if you're just joining into the show, they could be saying it about either of us a lot.
Exactly right.
I just thought of that. Like, wow.
No, you're right about that. No, I was just joking. I was just joking.
I'll say one thing about the podcast. There's actually somebody that listened. Is that no? The team isn't doing that. There's somebody
video.
That listens.
Imagine Mike's video. For
oh,
us.
He's got video already.
He does. He's got his video team.
I'm a one man band.
Mike's got video before Taz and the Moose.
Oh my God, that is a fact.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean,
I just wanted to say somebody listened to the podcast and he has already now become an Uber Eats driver himself. He was so motivated from it, he's doing it himself.
That's amazing.
Really.
Yes, really.
You're a motivator. You're an inspirer. You are a what they call a an influencer. That's what the kids call it today, the Generation Z, the kids that are in their 20s. You're called an influencer.
Thank you.
Maybe I should start doing that in between shifts.
Let me give you my promo code.
Wait.
I get a little...
What do you get, a percentage of my work?
Easy, little big joke.
Do you really?
Yeah, I can explain how it works. Yes, I
think
can.
You just did.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Again, thank you again for drive.
Wow. Oh, this guy's getting a vig. Boost, I'm telling you, you could squeeze that in.
I could probably.
Dude, I have people. This is no lie. I get the Uber Eats a lot at the casa, right? We let them in the gates, and I've had people, no BS, have their kids run up to the house with the food out of the car. I'm not kidding.
There you go. It's a family affair.
Bring your kid. Bring Jackson. Get him working.
No.
He's old enough. How old is he again?
No, I'm six.
All right.
Maybe he's a little young. I'm six.
I'm
doing that. That'd be disturbing.
Like, yeah, no, you just.
That'd be disturbing.
You don't live in the hood. It's not like you're going to the projects.
I'm not saying it has nothing to do with that. That's a little much. If I'm sending my six-year-old son up there with the Chinese food order.
Yeah, bring this Mugu Guy pan to that guy, right, Pete Pilati's
exactly
house.
But you could also say it's genius. Maybe you'll get a bigger tip.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm telling you.
Instead of tipping five, you'll be like, man, they're sending their kid up here. Yeah, give them 10.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
You could do a double order. You send your kid to one house. You go across the street to the other house and drop the food off.
Well, you could do that as well.
Two for the price of one.
Right, that's exactly right.
So all sorts of options.
Tuesday, Basketball Drives drops.
Episode number four comes
episode
up,
number
right.
four.
But the Taz Show drops today.
Correct. Yeah. The Taz Show today. So make sure to be locked into both podcasts.
That'll drop for Afternoon Drive. That'll drop for what... We try to drop it for people in the Northeast that maybe are, you know, on their way home from work or school, and for people on the West Coast that are maybe getting ready for lunch.
And so I'll be doing a racing podcast tomorrow for the Jim Dandy on Saturday in Saratoga.
Yes,
big 3-year-old campaign. Build up to the Travers.
That's you and what's his face?
Brian Monzo.
Yeah, Mons.
Kenny
Mark
Peck Malus of the Daily
the
Racing
Moose
Forum.
Is not loose yet.
By the way, how about Monzo? I was cursed. This guy... I like Brian, you know.
He's a good man. I
don't
love Brian.
I know he's your buddy. I got him.
He is. He's getting set to drive down to Disney.
With all 20 of his kids.
Yeah, either tomorrow or Saturday.
A lot of podcasts.
He's taking a Partridge Family bus.
Correct.
A lot of podcasts. He's taking a Partridge Family. You remember the Partridge? Anyway.
Partridge Family.
Partridge Family, right. So anyways, he tweets me, Monzo. Of course, the other day I tweeted about what's his name, Mikey B, about basketball drafts. And Monzo comes back with a tweet. I'm paraphrasing the tweet. He's like, he said something to Mike. He said, is Taz getting like, is he like, what did he say? Something like, he wanted to know if I was making money off your podcast.
Basically, yeah, because it was like, why are you promoting
this?
He was
guy?
Just being sarcastic.
No, Moose, I know that. So
or was he?
No, he was. But no, so I come back with, listen. Okay, I'm a lot nicer guy than people at that newsroom say, and people in the wrestling dirt sheets have said over the years. I'm
a
lot nicer
guy.
And I said this publicly. I'm a very nice person. I don't make any money off this. So as Monzo, as you head down to Florida in your bus with all of your kids, the Monzo Partridge family.
Yeah.
You could blast Taz and the Moose podcast through that bus.
I think it's technically a transit. It seats 12.
Does he really have something like that?
Yes, I swear to God.
So he actually has the Porsche family Monzo bus.
He bought
the Monzo family.
He bought a Ford Transit. It literally, I believe, seats 12.
It's like a kind of a short bus.
Yes, correct.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
If you're driving,
is it yellow?
No, it's not yellow. But I've not physically seen it. I've seen a picture of
You've driven in it.
I've not driven in it. No, I've not driven in it.
You and Monzo should do the podcast guys do in the bus.
Right. So you know how a hotel has like the shuttle service to the airport? Like one of those big transits?
That's my gimmick. You got mad.
Right. That's exactly right. That is what Brian Monzo is going to be driving down to.
Transit.
Wow. Correct.
Like a hotel shuttle.
Correct.
Dude, that's hysterical.
That's
right
there.
Dude, that's funny.
We're
going to end the show.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Till tomorrow.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.